welcome back to HE Podcast, a series where we explore and understand how research works in the environment and ecology and how its implementation can pull us out of climate doom. The HE Podcast is your one-stop shop of curated content on conservation, sustainability, and the environment. This is your host, Namrata Murli. Joining us today, we have Dr. Siddhartha Krishnan. He is the convener of the Academy at ATRI. Dr. Krishnan is an environmental sociologist with research interests in human well-being, environmental justice, and agrarian studies. When he is not busy at work, he is often seen documenting people, landscapes, and plants from behind his camera. So let's get right into it. Welcome to the ATRI podcast, Dr. Krishnan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, what is the primary aim of the Academy at ATRI, and what are some of the long-term goals that you have in mind for the Academy?
See, in a classical sense, what is an Academy? An Academy is a place for higher education, a place where science, arts, and practice, they meet and mingle. In ATRI's case, around conservation and sustainability. ATRI needed an Academy to fulfill its mission goals, specifically generating young environmental leadership trained to think and act in interdisciplinary ways and also participate in multidisciplinary teams. And we are 12 years old, and we started with a flagship. Our flagship program is the PhD, interdisciplinary PhD program. And we've had about 8 to 9 batches now. Around 22-23 students have passed on, graduated, and are well placed in academia and the civil society sectors.
So every time we hear you talk about the Academy, I hear you say interdisciplinary. Why and how do you make the Academy interdisciplinary?
See, disciplinary approaches to conservation and sustainability problems are inadequate. Now, science, it has traditionally discounted human agency in nature. And also in the process, you know, the constraining consequences on human society of changes in nature have been ignored by science. On the other hand, social science, it kind of discounts the biophysical world, right? The biophysical world as a material context to human economy and culture, right? Some kind of an externality which can be kind of priced away. But for a substantial understanding of interactions between the biophysical and sociocultural realms, and their consequences like biodiversity loss or climate change, we need interdisciplinarity. And it offers a better and balanced deal to policy, civil society, and industry to act and solve.
The Academy also provides a wide range of training facilities for students, local communities, and policymakers, amongst others. So what makes these programs offered so unique?
For starters, the sheer diversity, right? The sheer diversity in training themes, which range from conservation education to lake monitoring, to water quality, to forest rights entitlement, to natural history. And the composition of the training team, which ranges from plant ecologists, conservation biologists, environmental economists, political geographers, and socio and ecological hydrologists and soil scientists.
What makes the PhD program that ATRI offers unique in comparison to courses that are innumerable number of courses that are everywhere?
You see, as I mentioned, primarily it's pioneering interdisciplinarity, right? Also, the job market prospects of PhD alumni. They are placed in prestigious non-governmental organizations around the world. They have joined as postdocs and faculty in liberal arts and science universities in India. They have landed postdoctoral positions in prestigious Ivy League American universities. Now, the other courses, right, offered by other colleges and universities, they were very disciplinary. Now I'm saying typically ecology heavy. Now I'm saying they were, not are, right? Because conservation research NGOs nowadays, along with, you know, government and liberal arts and science colleges and universities, are incorporating interdisciplinarity, right? And I'm very happy and proud to say that it was ATRI that started it all 11, 12 years ago. And we've blazed a trail in this field.
So we know that ATRI and TDU are offering a new course in conservation practice, an MSc course. So could you tell us what this course is going to do for students, why and who should apply?
Why should anyone apply to ATRI's master's program, right? Primarily, it's the expectations. You can expect purpose. You can expect novelty. You can expect career and enablement, right? So let's start with expecting purpose. Now, it is an interdisciplinary course that builds strong critical and analytical foundations and capacities. It imparts conservation knowledge across, you know, forest, farm, urban and riverine contexts. It provisions skills, a skills repertoire, a skills range, ranging from better communication, project management, teamwork, ethical thinking, remote sensing, water quality, and biodiversity and climate change assessments, and more, right? So much for purpose. And then you can expect novelty, right? Now, such interdisciplinary skilling will be imparted before students choose sectoral immersions, right, across civil society, corporates, academia, and government sectors, right? And finally, you can expect career enablement, right, career enabling. The program will have cross-sectoral partnerships. We are working on it right now. Now, these cross-sectoral partnerships will offer networking opportunities for graduate students. And also in the near future, not in the far future, we hope to have a process of campus recruitment.
So how is it that your experience as a sociologist has impacted your time as the convener of the academy? Do you see any parallels? Do you think one has helped the other?
Before I became a convener, right, I was more of a researcher. Much of my time went into researching. And also, I did contribute to teaching as part of the academy, right? I taught sociology. I offered an elective in environmental sociology. And I also pitched in with the research methods courses. But having assumed the leadership of the academy, it has given me a lot of insight, and believe me, very valuable insight on how to manage and administer an education program, an interdisciplinary education program, right? And how to coordinate efforts across a 20-strong or 22-strong faculty body, right? How to coordinate, you know, across teaching, you know, across mentoring, right? Of course, I've been supported by a very small but effective team in the academy office, right? And it's given me, now it's my fifth year as the convener, my second term, and the experience has been invaluable, right? So, hypothetically speaking, if I were to go to another institution, another setting, I really think I would be able to manage, any program, right? Any education and kind of higher education program with a lot of confidence, right? But more than the administrative bit, now, as the convener of an interdisciplinary academy, it is what you learn. It is the learning, you know, across, the constraints that, say, ecologist or a sociologist or a geographer or anyone else who works in a civil society organization, a research civil society organization, the constraints they face in managing their time, right? Because there are multiple demands on a faculty's time in an organization like ATRI, right? And which is kind of similar with the way things are in universities too, which is to teach, which is to write papers, which is to mentor students, which is to raise grants and also participate in internal committees, right? And then, yes, you go and attend conferences and you need to do your own research and field work, right? And so I'm sensitive to the challenges that teaching offers to a typical academic, right? An academic who not just teaches, but is also a member of multiple doctoral advisory committees, and she and himself are kind of supervisors or guides to about three or four students, right? And so it's about how you kind of negotiate, you know, teaching commitments, how you negotiate PhD timelines, right, with colleagues on whose time there are multiple demands, right? And so it's been quite a learning, it's quite a learning curve for me. And ATRI's faculty, my colleagues, have been fantastically collaborative, right, and cooperative. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of learning. It's been a lot of fun.
To ask you the same question from a different angle, I know that you shape the research thinking of so many students at ATRI. Would you say that they shape the way you do your research, the way you ask questions?
Yes. So now I'm taking off my convener's hat. I'm just going to wear my hat as a faculty, right? As a supervisor of three students, as someone who participates over 7 or even 8 or even 9 doctoral advisory committees. It may sound a stretch, but it definitely is not. When I am supervising someone's thesis, when I am participating in someone's doctoral committee, right, I'm actually learning, right? Now, take the case of my own students. I mean, they work on agrarian conflicts in protected areas. They work on flooding risks in central India. They work on environmental justice issues around pesticide use in India's western coast, right? And I've learned a lot from their arguments, the frameworks, theoretical frameworks they choose, the way they go about in the field, the way they kind of structure the arguments, right? The way they write their papers. Of course, as a senior mentor, you know, I need to give, you know, advisory and inputs, but I must say I've learned a lot, right? And even recently, so, you know, I was working on a proposal for a PhD call around water studies. And what went into that small concept note, that call, was, among other things, what I learned from my students, including, for example, if you take a river, right, it is not just effective in kind of provisioning well-being to people, but it is also an affective or an emotional resource for riverine communities, right? So that concept, I got it from my student. I learned it from him. Of course, I'm supervising him, but it is, it is the ideas, you know, I mean, this generation of students, it's the sheer daring, you know, interdisciplinary daring, which kind of takes me by surprise, which makes me happy, and right? And it's mutual. So when you supervise PhD students, it is not one way. It is not teaching. It's also learning. And I've learned a lot.
That's great to hear. I guess learning never ends, especially when you're a researcher. You're looking to learn from everything around you. And it's great that you have your pulse in the heart of research with the youngest students and the best of the future that India has to offer. So thank you for joining us today, Dr. Krishnan. This was truly an inspiring conversation. I hope all the aspiring ecologists listening in thought the same as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Namrata.
Stay tuned to our channel for more insights into the environment and the problems we face globally. Do subscribe to our channel to stay connected.